Let's read together 2 Samuel chapter 14. In this chapter, David brings Absalom back to Jerusalem in line with the counsel of a wise woman manipulated by Joab. Let's begin by reading the first 20 verses of this chapter. 2 Samuel chapter 14, beginning at verse 1. So Joab, the son of Zeruiah, perceived that the king's heart was concerned about Absalom. And Joab sent to Tekoa and brought from there a wise woman and said to her, "Please pretend to be a mourner and put on mourning apparel. Do not anoint yourself with oil, but act like a woman who has been mourning a long time for the dead. Go to the king and speak to him in this manner." So Joab put the words in her mouth. And when the woman of Tekoa spoke to the king, she fell on her face to the ground and prostrated herself and said, "Help, O king." Then the king said to her, "What troubles you?" And she answered, "Indeed, I am a widow. My husband is dead. Now your maidservant had two sons, and the two fought with each other in the field, and there was no one to part them. But the one struck the other and killed him. And now the whole family has risen up against your maidservant. And they said, 'Deliver him who struck his brother, that we may execute him for the life of his brother whom he killed. And we will destroy the heir also.' So they would extinguish my ember that is left, and leave to my husband neither name nor remnant on the earth." Then the king said to the woman, "Go to your house, and I will give orders concerning you." And the woman of Tekoa said to the king, "My lord, O king, let the iniquity be on me and on my father's house, and the king and his throne be guiltless." So the king said, "Whoever says anything to you, bring him to me, and he shall not touch you anymore." Then she said, "Please let the king remember the Lord your God, and do not permit the avenger of blood to destroy any more, lest they destroy my son." And he said, "As the Lord lives, not one hair of your son shall fall to the ground." Therefore the woman said, "Please let your maidservant speak another word to my lord the king." And he said, "Say on." So the woman said, "Why then have you schemed such a thing against the people of God? For the king speaks this thing as one who is guilty, in that the king does not bring his banished one home again. For we will surely die and become like water spilled on the ground, which cannot be gathered up again. Yet God does not take away a life, but he devises means so that his banished ones are not expelled from him. Now therefore I have come to speak of this thing to my lord the king, because the people have made me afraid. And your maidservant said, 'I will now speak to the king. It may be that the king will perform the request of his maidservant. For the king will hear and deliver his maidservant from the hand of the man who would destroy me and my son together from the inheritance of God.' Your maidservant said, 'The word of my lord the king will now be comforting. For as the angel of God, so is my lord the king in discerning good and evil. And may the Lord your God be with you.' Then the king answered and said to the woman, 'Please do not hide from me anything that I ask you.' And the woman said, 'Please let my lord the king speak.' So the king said, 'Is the hand of Joab with you in all this?' And the woman answered and said, 'As you live, my lord the king, no one can turn to the right hand or to the left from anything that my lord the king has spoken. For your servant Joab commanded me, and he put all these words in the mouth of your maidservant. To bring about this change of affairs, your servant Joab has done this thing. But my lord is wise, according to the wisdom of the angel of God, to know everything that is in the earth.'" Let's begin our study of this chapter, 2 Samuel chapter 14, with some background notes. In 2 Samuel chapter 13, we had the record of the rape of Tamar by Amnon, and then the murder of Amnon by Absalom. Absalom fled the country and was not brought back or forced to return home to face trial. So now here in chapter 14, Joab senses David's dilemma of wanting Absalom to come home on the one hand as a father, but on the other hand, David knows that as king, he is responsible to carry out justice in the kingdom, even in reference to his own son Absalom. So Joab comes up with a plan to solve the whole problem, at least to his way of thinking. He brought a wise woman from Tekoa, which was a town about 10 miles south of Jerusalem, and Joab had this woman go before David with a made-up story about her predicament as a poor widow with a son who had killed his brother. In order to understand the full impact of this woman's story, we need to be aware that there are a number of different factors and factions and even agendas involved behind the scenes. There is certainly Joab's selfish agenda to stay on the good side of both David and Absalom, who had a claim to the throne. Then there would be a good portion of the people whose sense of justice would demand that Absalom be properly brought to trial because he was guilty of murder. And then there would be a good number of people in the kingdom that would favor Absalom because they would not see him as a murderer, but as a good brother who defended his sister who had been raped. They would be in favor of showing Absalom mercy, especially since he was such a talented and good-looking young man and would make an attractive king. Well, Joab knows that David would lean toward this position. And in the woman's story or parable, an emphasis is put on showing mercy. Now the parallel was revealed by the woman in verse 13. And David was made to feel guilty for not bringing Absalom back as most of the people wanted, according to the woman. And furthermore, said the woman from Tekoa, we all die like water spilled on the ground. We can't bring Amnon back. Why kill another one of the king's sons? Why not show mercy as God does? Verse 14. And of course, David is praised by the woman for his wisdom. Verse 17 and verse 20. Well, the plan worked. And even though David suspected the truth that Joab had engineered the whole scenario, Absalom was brought back into Jerusalem. And that brings us to our doctrinal teaching points for 2 Samuel chapter 14. Doctrinal point number one, proper discipline must involve more than righteous anger and sorrow. Proper discipline must involve more than righteous anger and sorrow. The right course of action for David, of course, was for Absalom to be brought to trial, regardless of the fact that he was the king's son. Absalom was not above the law, and justice should be carried out. Now, perhaps mercy could be shown to Absalom at the trial, in view of Tamar's rape by Amnon. But Absalom had committed murder and should be brought to justice. David was certainly angry about all these matters, as we saw back in chapter 13, verse 21. And David was certainly very sorrowful about these matters as well, as we see in chapter 13 and verse 36. But David should have done more than just be angry and weep. Both Amnon for his rape and Absalom for his murder should have been made to face the law and be properly disciplined for their crimes. And the same thing is true today. Proper discipline must involve more than righteous anger and sorrow, whether it be in the home or in the church or in civil government. Wrongdoing should not be swept under the rug or just left to dissipate with time. It must be disciplined. Proper discipline must involve more than righteous anger and sorrow. Doctrinal point number two. Proper discipline may involve permanent scars and separation. Proper discipline may involve permanent scars and separation. Verses 21 through 33, 2 Samuel chapter 14, beginning now at verse 21. And the king said to Joab, "All right, I have granted this thing. Go therefore, bring back the young man Absalom." Then Joab fell to the ground on his face and bowed himself and thanked the king. And Joab said, "Today your servant knows that I have found favor in your sight, my lord, O king, in that the king has fulfilled the request of his servant." So Joab arose and went to Geshur and brought Absalom to Jerusalem. And the king said, "Let him return to his own house, but do not let him see my face." So Absalom returned to his own house, but did not see the king's face. Now in all Israel, there was no one who was praised as much as Absalom for his good looks. From the sole of his foot to the crown of his head, there was no blemish in him. And when he cut the hair of his head, at the end of every year, he cut it because it was heavy on him. When he cut it, he weighed the hair of his head at 200 shekels according to the king's standard. To Absalom were born three sons and one daughter whose name was Tamar. She was a woman of beautiful appearance. And Absalom dwelt 2 full years in Jerusalem, but did not see the king's face. Therefore, Absalom sent for Joab to send him to the king, but he would not come to him. And when he sent again the second time, he would not come. So he said to his servants, "See, Joab's field is near mine, and he has barley there. Go and set it on fire." And Absalom's servants set the field on fire. Then Joab arose and came to Absalom's house and said to him, "Why have your servants set my field on fire?" And Absalom answered Joab, "Look, I sent to you saying, 'Come here,' so that I may send you to the king to say, 'Why have I come from Geshur? It would be better for me to be there still. Now, therefore, let me see the king's face. But if there is iniquity in me, let him execute me.'" So Joab went to the king and told him. And when he had called for Absalom, he came to the king and bowed himself on his face to the ground before the king. Then the king kissed Absalom. Absalom should have been brought to trial, but instead David kissed him and restored him to full royal court privileges. And all the way through the account, there is no evidence that Absalom ever repented for his murder of Amnon. And now Absalom uses his restored position and good looks to lay the groundwork for his agenda of usurping the throne. All of this was because Absalom had not been properly disciplined. But you say, if David had brought Absalom to trial, he may never have seen Absalom again. That's exactly right. Proper discipline may involve permanent scars and separation. And the same is true today. Even when there is confession and repentance with proper discipline, there may be permanent scars and separation. You cannot sin in a vacuum. Other people get hurt, and scars can remain for life. For example, proper discipline in the church may involve excommunicating a person, and if there is no repentance, but rather defiance, that separation must remain. Proper discipline may involve permanent scars and separation. Practical application. Don't neglect to discipline your good-looking and talented children. Don't neglect to discipline your good-looking and talented children. In verse 25, we read, "Now in all Israel, there was no one who was praised as much as Absalom for his good looks. From the sole of his foot to the crown of his head, there was no blemish in him." And then in verse 26, we read about the beautiful head of hair that Absalom had. And in verse 27, we see that Absalom had a nice family with a beautiful daughter that he named after his sister Tamar. No wonder it was hard for David to properly discipline his son Absalom. Now, do you see the spiritual lesson? It's always harder to discipline your good-looking and talented children. We tend to overlook their wrongdoing because as proud parents, we are more interested in gloating over their looks and achievements. This will certainly lead to future problems for them and for us and for others. Learn this important lesson, practical application, right, from the relationship between David and his son Absalom. Don't neglect to discipline your good-looking and talented children.